Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is so good to be here this morning, and I just want to welcome each and every one of you. And if there's any visitors, please make yourself at home. We're thankful that you're here, and just pray that the Holy Spirit will make you feel welcome. So we do have some business to take care of after the service. We got the right hand of fellowship to give to a couple, and a couple of young people, if you will, Lucy and Keller, both saved this week. I tell you, praise the Lord for that. It's amazing to see how the Lord moves and what He's doing, and I'm just kind of in a place of just wanting to see what He's going to do next, and I get excited that way. Things going really well in Collegians, it seems, also, and just so much to praise Him for. The songs this morning, the service thus far this morning, I felt the Spirit and everything, and I thank the Lord for that, because that's what changes lives. That's how things are changed. It's nothing that anything the preacher or teacher or people can bring. It's what the Holy Spirit has to bring, and if we're willing to listen to Him. But if you will, be turning to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. And I am so thankful to see each of you here this morning. And you know, it's one of those things sometimes in preparing for messages, you might have a situation on your heart, something like that. But here's the thing I've learned. You never know who's going to be here with you on Sunday morning. We don't know that. And then maybe who might be listening online or what have you. But the Lord knows, and the Lord kind of led me to this scripture earlier on this week. And I wanted to start there to make sure that's where the Lord wanted me to stay or to be. And I've had confirmation ever since. And I think it's going to help us. Having a lot of younger people in the church, maybe younger converts in the church, feel a need of discipleship, helping people, leading people. It's not about just leading somebody to Christ and then patting them on the back and saying, well, good luck to you. I hope you have a good Christian life. We'll see you on the other side. There's so much more to live in between, so much more to experience. Only, you know, God knows what He has for us. And you look at all the different experiences in the Word of God, you can look back on and say, my goodness, look at what God did in this person's life. Look what He did in that person's life. And sometimes we might feel insignificant and think, well, I'm just little old me, and God don't really have a plan for me. I'm just supposed to kind of hang out and be here. But I tell you, if you get in the will of God and you start seeking out what He has for you in your life, it's anything but uneventful. Anything but. God will take you places you never thought you'd go, let you see things you never thought you'd see. If you'll get in there for Him and just trust Him with it and not put Him in a box, and also not yourself stay in a box. If you're not careful, we'll box ourselves in. We'll box ourselves in a little box and say, not me. Yes, God can do what He wants to, but not with me, because I'm just little old me and God don't want to do anything with me. And I want to tell you this. God loves doing things with little old me's. That's who He picks in the Bible. So if you feel that way, watch out. He's probably wanting to do something in your life. Being humble that way and what have you, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's a good place to be. But I tell you, at the same time, when you see the mighty God that we have and what He has done in the Bible for His people, Old Testament, New Testament alike, it should be an encouragement to us to get in there for God. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and give you the title this morning. It's called Going All In. Going All In. I'm afraid a lot of times people do skirt the sidelines and kind of get to a point and then they stop and think this is as far as I'm going to go. This is as far as God's going to take me. But I just have the feeling in my heart that God is willing to take you further than what you realize if you're willing to follow Him where He is sending you. The easiest thing that you and I could do is try to set a parameter for us and then have that comfort zone thinking this is it, when God is not going to keep us in that comfort zone. I don't know anybody really in the Bible, anybody offhand, that God used and kept in a comfort zone. Almost every single time, it was well beyond any comfort zone that somebody had set up for themselves. God has a way of doing that. And see, that's the miraculous thing. In serving the Lord is how He works. And He does it in such a way that when you look back on it, you can only thing you say is only God could have done that. Mm-hmm. He makes Himself so real to us every day if we're looking. If we're willing. And I tell you, you want to feel something from the Lord, follow Him. You want to experience something from the Lord, trust Him. Trust Him with the things that just seem impossible. That's the good stuff, I tell you. But I'm going to go ahead and read. We'll get started this morning. This could be lengthy. I'm not going to set any time frames, but I just want the Lord to get out of it what He wants. There's more in here than what I could bring out. And if there's a chapter in the Bible, and there's many, but if there's a chapter in the Bible that is just eat up with golden nuggets, this is one of them. This is one of them. So I go ahead and give you that and pray that He'll bring out what He wants to bring. But I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 first, and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Father, we come to you today, Lord, with so much on our heart. So many members in our church, Lord, just facing different things and dealing with different things, Lord. We think of the McKinneys today, just each one of them, God. And Lord, I lift them up to you. And God, I just pray that you do a mighty work there. God, we're putting our trust into you. God, we know you're the only one that can handle situations like this, and you know exactly what it is. And God, I just pray your healing hand be upon them, and Lord, that it not be severe like it was last time, God, and that your power just be upon each one of them and their hearts and their minds. Lord, I know it is so hard, God, and I can't speak from experience just by hearing what they've said, Lord. And I pray you encourage their hearts. Help little Zeke, God, be with each one of them, Lord, today. God, I pray you be with each member here. Everything that they're facing, Lord, those who are not able to be with us today due to sickness and health, God, I just pray that you be with them and encourage them. And God, I thank you so much for everybody that's here. God, I pray that you help each one. And Lord, in the message, God, I just pray that each one could find what they need to see from you, Lord. That's how we hear from you. We hear from you through your word. And God, I just thank you for the many opportunities that you've given to me, God, the opportunity to stand, to study, God. And I just pray that you use me today, Lord. I'm nobody, and I know that. I can't do anything. God, it's you, the God in heaven, that offers the help. And God, I just pray that something be said today that can be an encouragement and help your people, God. And somebody here today lost, God, that it could lead them to you, Lord. It's all about you. And God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. Help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, it's been a little bit since I've preached along these lines, but when you start looking back at some of these instances in the Old Testament, it's amazing to see what God has done and what He does for His people in spite of what looks like a hopeless situation. And then you have people, you have the human aspect. That's one thing I see in the children of Israel on a regular basis, is how human they are and how much I can identify with them. When we read the Bible and we see the outcome, it's easy to think, why in the world did they not have more confidence in their God than that He was not going to think that He was not going to deliver them or to help them? And then I find myself every day finally just kind of being in that same situation. Just when a new battle comes, like, Lord, I don't know. This battle's worse than the last one. This is harder than the last one. Lord, I just don't know. You see, and then you start wavering and you start seeing all this up and down mess. I think we spend a lot of our time in the up and down pattern when God wants us to be just straight across, straight through. See, that's how He works. I don't think God goes up and down. I think He's straightforward. I mean, He's the Creator. You think about where He sits, what He sees. And the ask that He has of us is, please just be obedient and do what I'm asking you to do. And just see what happens. You see, God, I don't think, ever gets amazed with anything, because He's God. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what you and I are going to do before we do it. He knows what we think before we think it. He knows all these things. So He's never taken by surprise. But I tell you what, He likes to surprise His children. He likes to bless us. He likes to surprise us. He likes to show us things. And when God makes Himself manifest to us, I think He finds joy in that, because we should delight and joy in that ourselves. Just to think about how big and how capable our God is. And you're talking about a group of people here in this point of their life. They've been in captivity for so many years. They'd actually got used to it. They found themselves in slavery, and that's the worst place that you can be, is slavery. The grave would be better than slavery. I just want to tell you that. I mean, slavery is the worst place you could be, and you can see the typology that is given here from the children of Israel. They're stuck in the world, and they're being servitude into the world and to the leader at that time. You think about Pharaoh. I think you'll see a lot of typology of the devil himself there. Just wants what he wants, and all praise and honor and glory to himself, and he's running the show, but he's not running it the way God would have it to be run, because he said, "Who is this God?" He's very blasphemous. Every chance he had, he tried to throw down the Lord, and you see the back and forth that he had when all the plagues and everything was coming through. But there come a point in time, it was time for God to deliver his people. And now we're up to this time. It kind of gets interesting right here, because you start at verses 1 through 4, kind of lays down some foundation for us. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, so we see where the direction is coming. God himself, the Lord himself, is giving Moses direction. So it's important that you see that. Because Moses wasn't going out on his own. And he didn't say, well, you know, I think we should do this. I think we should do this. The Lord spoke to him and said this right here. It said, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. Now I'm going to mess these up. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Between Migdal and the sea over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh shall say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, you look at this path here. This is a different path. When you were coming out, there's different ways that a person could go. The shortest path would have been through the Philistines and going through that land there. But the problem with that is that you've got a land that was going through war at that time. Let me just say that the shortest distance is not always the most convenient or easiest path to go. So the Lord sent them over this other way, sent them what you would think is a much harder way, or way out of the way place, and it was into the wilderness. And so Pharaoh, in his placement, he's thinking, okay, this is what the Lord is saying here. So Pharaoh will think that they are going out here, and they're entangled in the wilderness, and the wilderness has shut them in. They're sitting ducks. It's going to be easy for me. You see, what you and I need to realize, God doesn't only know your thoughts and your heart, but he knows the thoughts and heart of the enemy as well. Do you know that? See, he knows both sides. He sees both sides, and he thinks these things through, and he knows the heart. Now, interesting thing about the heart, I'll go ahead and give you this. Sometimes God will give you what you think you want. It's not always a good thing. You see, when you think about how Pharaoh, the life that he was living, where he was at, he was unrepentant. Have you ever heard of the reprobate mind that's mentioned in the New Testament? When a person goes so far that they're not going to be repentant, they're not going to turn back, that God turns them over to a reprobate mind to do those evil things that seems convenient to them? See, God has the power to go ahead and let a person go as far as they want to go. And if they don't want to repent, he said, well, have at it. Just go on. I'll leave you there. See, that's interesting. I want you to think about that and consider that. You think about where Pharaoh's heart was in all of this. He knew his heart, and he knew that he was not going to turn back. Now you say, well, what about other people? What about people who have a repentant heart? Amen. God knows that. That's what he seeks after. You see, if you have a heart after God and you want to seek after him, guess what? You can be rewarded that way also. The Lord loves to see that kind of faithfulness in his people. But he's saying again in verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm seeing, the Lord is saying, I know what he's going to do. I know what his heart is made up of. And this is what he's going to want to do. He's going to think he can get the upper hand on you. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. See, he did everything for a purpose. It's amazing to see how God has worked in our life when we look back. Looking forward, it's kind of hard to tell because nobody here can tell the future, can you? I mean, who's going to win today, right? I don't know. But see, when you look back, you can kind of see the path that maybe where you had taken some missteps, but you can see the path that God has allowed you to be on. So, wow, that really makes sense now. It didn't make sense before today, but that kind of makes sense now. You see, God knows these things in his infinite knowledge, and that's what he's talking about here. He knows the heart of his people, and he knows the heart of the enemy. And it's important that we see that this morning, and then what he's talking about with Pharaoh. Now you look at verses 5 through 9. The children of Israel finally leaving out. They're leaving out this captivity, the place that they were in, and finally leaving out. But then you have Pharaoh, who has a change of heart. That's not surprising. You think about how people are. He was so fed up and everything after all the plagues and all that. But then now it's like, no, I want them back. I want them back. You remember that back and forth, the back and forth that went on. When you're living by sight, that's the type of lifestyle you're going to have, is an up and down lifestyle. I'll explain here in a minute why. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses of chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And so they caught up with them. So very interesting how this comes to be here. They got to thinking, it's like, now we don't have all these slaves. We don't have all these people to do the work for us. And then they had a change of heart. We want them back. It's like they forgot about all the plagues and everything. Pharaoh's like, no, I want them back. And now's our chance to get them back. Now's our chance to go after them. They're going to be over here stuck out in the wilderness somewhere. Now's our chance to go get them. And see, the Lord knew that that would snare in Pharaoh. The Lord knows, again, the hearts and the minds of everyone. You see, and that also says, I thought it was interesting how the children of Israel, they went out with a high hand. They was all excited about everything, but they're very naive in what was going on. You think about those years that they spent in captivity. They were not war ready. You think about a young person who's just been saved. They're not battle ready. They're not seasoned maybe like an older Christian is. They're kind of just getting their feet underneath them. Kind of just learning some things. You know, this is where the discipleship is important. This is where it's extremely important that God show them at that time how powerful he is and how trustworthy he is. Hard thing about that is in life, really for you and me, a lot of our trusting, a lot of our learning doesn't come from easy times. It comes from hard times. When we can't see any way out. When we see an option that maybe we think we can orchestrate ourselves, then we're really not relying on God. So we just kind of did it ourselves, and that was easy enough. But God is not in that. It's not until we get into places that we see absolutely no way out that we start recognizing God's power in our lives. And you think that's by design? I think it is. It's important that we see and realize we have to walk by faith. So you think about it here. Pharaoh is going after them. He's going to try to go pick them up. And here comes the enemy again. Here comes the enemy chasing after them again. You think about 600 chosen chariots. You think about these people. They had no weapons. They were tired. They were living a slavery life. You think about those today who have lived a life of servitude to the world, and then coming through, accepting Christ, and just as new new Christians, how intimidating that would be to go into your first battle, spiritual battle as a new Christian. Not ready for it. Not ready for it. Again, what the devil would try to use for bad, I want you to know God can absolutely use for good. See, God orchestrated all this. God had all this planned together. It's kind of interesting. Look at verse number 10. There's a lot in this verse here, and I want to spend just a little time here. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So they were doing what Moses had told them to do. Moses is our leader. He's been tried and true. We trust him to a degree up to this point. We're going maybe the direction we want to go. Don't know exactly where we're going, toward the wilderness. We're going out here, but then after they had time to set up camp and kind of look around and see what was going on, they looked in the rearview mirror, and guess what they saw? They saw the enemy coming after. Oh my goodness. The only thing that they could think, you see, they were looking with what they saw with their eyes. A few minutes ago, they're coming out with a high hand. We're leaving. We're out of here. Let's go. But then all of a sudden, they see the enemy coming, and then they go out. You see what it says here. They start crying out to God. It's not bad that they're crying out, but you can tell their confidence starts going down. See, that's what happens to you and I if we are living by sight and not living by faith. This is what we do. This is how we live our lives. When things look good, we're on the mountain because we think everything's going right, whatever bright is in your life, whatever you think that is. And so you get all excited, think, man, everything's going good, but the second it looks bad, you start looking down. And this is how we live our lives as Christians. Up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, consequently, the world sees that. They see how we live that, but again, God wants us to live the way that He sees us, and it's straightforward. See, that's the way He sees it. We're His children. We're adopted into His family. He wants us to live the way and do the things the way He sees it. But the only way we can do that is by faith. That's why I think we see these insurmountable situations so many times, because that is a testing of our faith. But you see, they started walking by sight, and you see the uncertainty, the up and down, the up and down. And then you think about, well, what were they doing there anyway? Why were they in that position? Who put them in that position? Who put them in that location? God did. You go back to verse 3, you see the place that seemingly was a trap. Who put them there? God put them there. I want to try to encourage you with this morning. If you're in a place that is seemingly a hard place to be, I want to ask you something. Who put you there? Who put you there? Is that a place that you put yourself? Is that a place that you led yourself and you made decisions maybe without praying? Maybe without seeking counsel of God? Maybe without wanting to follow after Him? Or is it by chance a place that God Himself put you? See, that's going to make a big deciding factor of how you move forward. You see, God had put them here. There was no really... They weren't hiding from God. They weren't running from God. They were doing what God told them to do, but yet a bad situation happened. You know, that happens a lot. Then we try to justify in our minds, why is this bad thing happening? Why is God doing this to me? Why is He allowing this to happen to me? I want us to see also the importance of acting on what God says regardless of what you see. If you know to do something a certain way and you have faith in God and your faith isn't wavering and up and down, you should stay like this regardless what you see. That's part of the lesson here. That's part of what He's teaching. This is talking about speaking to obedience and faithfulness. You can find out how faithful somebody is very quick just at the hint of a little hardship. If they're really in it for God or not, if a little hardship happens and they fall out, maybe they're not in it for God like they thought they were. I think sometimes that's why you see attendance do this. Why you see things like that go up and down. I tell you, if a person is faithful, they believe in God. Again, Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. After the day you get saved, it should be like this. It shouldn't be in and out. Shouldn't be up and down. I know trials come. I'm not trying to talk big, I promise. I'm just saying, if you could see where God sits, if we could see where He sits this morning and the power He has, we would be more like this than like this. I promise you that. One day we'll get to see it. One day we'll look back and say, my goodness, I wish I'd had more confidence. Look at Him. Look at Him and His magnificence and the power that He has. But look what we do in this day and time. Look at verses 11 and 12. This is hard. It's hard. Hard living, as you could say. I tell you, Moses was doing exactly what the Lord told him to do. He instructed the people just as the Lord told him to do it. And then we get down to verse 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness, in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Man, that's a sad, sad commentary right there. You talk about a group of people that had gotten so used to being slave, caught up in slavery, caught up in the world, caught up in servitude, that they would rather have that than their freedom. That's the worst place a Christian could be. You know what that is? That's called then being in your comfort zone. I mentioned that a while ago. God don't do a lot with people in their comfort zone. He just doesn't. I've never seen it happen. Never seen God work that way. I've seen people taken out of their comfort zone and seeing amazing things happen because God's in it. They started complaining. They got sarcastic here. Started running down the Lord and running down Moses, and they got into panic. They're like, what is going on here? They're panicking. You just brought us out here to die. There weren't enough burial grounds back in Egypt, so you brought us out here to die. Is that what you done, Moses? You see, this is it. This is what they're doing. They aren't looking at the situation as what is God going to do next? How is He going to deliver us? What is He going to do? I know my God is going to deliver me. Nobody is saying that. They jump on Moses and say, what are you doing? I knew I couldn't trust you. I knew you were nobody. I knew I couldn't follow your leadership. I know that. But here we are. You brought us out here to die. And I tell you, that is not what the Lord wants out of us. That's what the world will look at that and say, see? That's what I was talking about, see? That's what I was talking about right there. But you see, as things go on, look what Moses said. It gets even more interesting as you go. Verse 13 and 14, our primary text here. Look what Moses said. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. I'll stop right there. The problems that you're facing today, if you will give them to the Lord, He will take care of them for you. Say, preacher, I don't know about that. Some of these things are hard to beat. Yes, they are. And I want to tell you again, God specializes in hard to beat situations. Depends on if you want to give it to Him or not. I know I think about addiction. I think about other situations that people are trying to run from. I ask you this morning, what are you running from? Children of Israel were running from their captors. Maybe you're living in captivity to something this morning and you won't freed from it. Well, I guess I want you to know you have a way of escape. You've not entered into any temptation that God hath not made a way of escape. Paraphrasing. Temptation. You know what temptation is? That's enticement to do evil from the devil, but it's also a trial. You know that? God has made a way out of every one of your trials. Did you know that's what the Bible says? That's what it teaches. You don't have to live captive. These people were so used to being in captivity, they thought, you know what? I would rather live a defeated life where I don't have to extend any faith or any hope or anything than to put myself out there and not know what's going to happen. And sadly, I believe that's where a lot of Christian people will stay. In a state of defeat, because they're not willing to step out. Well, their back is against the wall here. This is starting to not make any sense to them at all. They went out with a high hand a few minutes ago. They were ready. They were heading out and they were thinking everything is just going to be easy after that. But you know, there's more battles in life. But there's one deliverer. There's one deliverer that you'll find in all these battles. And Moses said unto them and said to the people, fear ye not and stand still. Sometimes it's good just to slow down, do nothing, and just watch what God is going to do. Just see what he's going to do next. Stand still. We think that we have more of an active role in things than what we actually do. It's all God. You'll hear people say, it's all him. Well, let's let it be all him. Stand still. He didn't say, pick up some weapons, pick up some sticks, rocks, because you know they didn't have anything like that. They were captives. They were now on the run. They had walked out, but now they're on the run and they found themselves trapped. Out in the valley, and you have valleys on either mountains on either side, and you have the sea against their back, and guess what? Their enemies were marching right down the middle. That's how we feel a lot of times in life. Life gets that way. But are you where God wants you to be? And he's saying again, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See the redeeming grace that he is going to extend to you. Just watch and see what he's going to do. You know, I think about that a lot in this day and time, looking at it this way. A lot of times we hear people say, I don't know about this newer generation. I want to tell you something about this new generation. There's a lot of good curiosity coming out of this new generation. They just want to know the truth. They want somebody to tell them the truth. Hey, would somebody just stand up and tell me the truth and not politicize it or anything? Just tell me about God? Yes, there's people that's willing to do that if you got people willing to listen. And I believe there are some. Praise God for it. I mean, it's the most liberating thing to see. Young people ask you honest questions about the Bible and see the light go off in their eyes and you see the spirit and the joy in their heart. I tell you, my goodness, there's been some good liberty at these meetings, and I praise God for it. It gets better every time. It gets sweeter every time. And guess what? It's this younger generation. People want to ride off. That's the generation coming on. It's not the church to come. It's the church right now. It's our church. He's saying, seeing the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Those people, those enemies that's chasing after you, what he is saying here today, after today, you will never see them again. How many of you would like to say that about the enemies in your life? And I'm not even just talking about people. I'm talking about the spiritual battles that you got going on. I'm talking about the things that's down in your heart that you want to change, that you know that you need to change, but you're just not willing to let it go yet. How would you like to be able to say that sin that so easily besets you? How would you like it if God was able to take that away from you if you were willing to give it to him? That you could live that victorious life. How would you like that? Would you like that? Or do you want to go back into Egypt and kind of stay in there with it, toy around with it? Never really know the joy that God has for you on this side of eternity. One of the things that the Lord has really shown me about this life is he's saying, Jason, you only got one chance at it. And you don't know how long that's going to be. You don't know how long that's going to last, but you only have one chance to live life on earth before you see me. And you know what, Jason? That's the only faith you will be able to extend. After you pass on, either by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, once you pass on, there will be no more faith. You'll be living by sight after that. What is interesting about that to me is it makes me want to live more by faith. I'm not asking for hardship. I'm asking that the Lord show me and that he lead me and he guide me and that I not be afraid to trust him. So Lord, I have faith in you. Increases my faith. This is the only time that you and I have time to extend faith. And what he is saying here, these enemies, you're never going to see them again. Once we cross over, we'll never see these things again. This is important to note, verse number 14. It's not in your might. It's not in mine. It's not in the mind power. Sometimes people get it locked in that it's the power of the mind. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Well, I tell you what, your mind is not going to outdo the will of God. There's times that your mind is not going to understand and comprehend what the will of God is and why he does what he does. But I tell you what, you have to extend in those circumstances, it's faith. That's the only thing that you can extend. And what he's saying here, though, in verse number 14, The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He's saying, guess what? It gets better. You're not going to be fighting this group of people. The Lord's going to fight them for you. The Lord's going to fight that battle for you. So it's not a mind. It's not a matter of mind over matter. It's not a matter of hurry and get ready and sharpen up your swords and sharpen up your war skills. No, no, no. You just stand still and watch what the Lord is going to do. Do you think the children of Israel was deserving of that? No, that was his people, and he loves his people, and he loves you and me. I want you to know today, God will do this exact same thing for you and me if we'll be obedient to him and give it to him. He loves them no more than he loves us. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? I mean, that means something to me. Now, you see these verses here, and I'm telling you, there's all kinds of gold nuggets in this. You look at verse number 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they should go forward? Why are you stopping to pray in a time like this? Doesn't that seem contradictory? I want you to know something. If God has told you to do something, you don't have to stop and pray about it. Because you already know it's his will. He's already told you what he wants out of you. He told Moses what he wanted out of him. He told him, he explained to him. We pray about things sometimes that we don't have to pray about. If we know what God's will is on something, all he's saying is just do it. Be willing to go all in. What are you waiting on? It would almost be like saying this. I thought about an analogy I could use for this. It'd be almost like saying, Lord, if it be thy will, save somebody today. That's silly. It is his will. It's always his will. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why would you ever believe, Lord, if it be your will? We know these things. Some of these things are his will. But he got back with Moses. He said, Moses, you're to lead these people. I told you what to do. Now do it. And it's like that sometimes. I tell you, there comes a point in time that you and I are just supposed to move forward and not stop and use any kind of excuse. You know what the Baptists know is? We'll pray about it. Right? Sounds godly, doesn't it? Sounds good, don't it? But that's your way. Wait on to know. Then you have some people, we'll pack while we pray. If they're ready to go and do something, they're going to do it and pray on the car ride wherever they're going. If they're praying about something like that. But he goes on and he tells them not to stop. Why Christ down to me? Move forward. And he says, verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now I'm not going into the whole other second part of that. You know what happens. They walk through on dry ground and their shoes come out on the other side completely dry. Completely dry. So don't worry about some kind of historical weather event or what happened. The rod went across and God lifted up the walls of the water and they walked across on dry land. That's what happened. That's how it happened. And don't say, well, it's ankle deep there. I don't care. It couldn't have been any deep because their shoes didn't even get wet. God did it. God said it and God did it. But I want you to know something. I want to say this. It's when Moses, when he raised that rod, and you imagine this wall going up, this wall of water going up on both sides, and you see that opening down the middle. Did you know the children of Israel had a choice to make? Do I stand here in amazement and say, wow, look what God did. That's amazing. Or do I move? Somebody had to be the first one. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Moses. Somebody had to be the first one to do this. And look and say, my goodness. This is absolutely amazing, brother. This is amazing. You believe this? And brother, this is dry. I mean, this is waters. I mean, look at this. And then you had to be willing to go through and see they come through the path that God made for them. They come through on the other side on dry ground. They didn't have anything to worry about. Dry ground. So they come through. Somebody had to be willing to take that first step. After that first step, I believe other people probably gained a little bit of confidence and did it themselves. But you know what the worst thing they could have done was? Stood right here and say, man, that's amazing. Because who was right here behind them? The enemy. Right there on their tail. The enemy was right there. I tell you, when it's time to move, it's time to move. God has already made a way. That's the importance of going all in this morning. Somebody had to have the courage to go all in. If you really want to see what God has for you in your life, guess what? You're going to have to be willing to go all in. It's an amazing thing to see that. And you come on down and you know how it goes. They go in, and guess what? As the children of Israel, they're going across on the other side and their enemies pursued them. See, God knew their heart. God knew that they were going to pursue after them. What seemed like a trap and a snare at once upon a time, that was the path of deliverance for the children of Israel, but it was the path of destruction for Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So as they go through, the last child of Israel, children of Israel, last Israelite steps across to the other side. Guess what? Here comes the water down on all those chariots. I'm telling you, think about sweet relief. I'll tell you, it probably took them a little bit to realize and understand what had actually happened. And to see that kind of magnificence of God. I want you to know, if the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free. And then after you are set free, you know what He wants you to do? Surrender your life to Him. He wants you to give it to Him. Thing about it is, with God, He gave His very best when He sent Jesus Christ. He gave His very best. And you know what He asked from you and me? Our very best in return. That's the first fruits. That's what He wants back from us. I'm going to hurry along. I'm going to close with this here. Look at verse 19 and 20. I'm going to close with this. After you've gone through some things in your life, again, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. After you've accepted Christ, you're not supposed to fall back into the old way. Nobody would want to go back into that water at this point, would you? I wouldn't want to cross back over that. I wouldn't want to go back in there where all that mess was at and my captors were at, dead or not. I wouldn't want to be in there with that mess. I wanted to be on the other side. But it's important to see how God guides us in our life. I think sometimes people, they really ask the question, how do I know if this is God that is guiding me and delivering me and leading me and showing me? Look at verse 19. In verse number 20, it said, the angel of God, amen, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camps of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one camp came not near the other all the night. I want you to know something. There's two things that's being spoke of right here. Number one, you see the following of Christ, the angel of God. You know, you look in the Bible, there's different places you see the archangel. You think about Gabriel, you think about Michael. You see things like that, but I believe there's times that you see in the Old Testament, you see the angel of God, and I want you to know who I think that is. I believe that's none other than Jesus Christ Himself. I believe that's the one that's standing there. That's, you know, Jesus Christ was from the foundation of the earth. Sometimes you think, well, Jesus wasn't until He was born in the New Testament. Jesus has always been. The Trinity has always been. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost have always been. You know, if you want to send your very best, you send Jesus. And that's exactly what God did. And I want you to see this here. You see the angel of God. Also, you see the pillar of the cloud. I want you to know that pillar of the cloud, that's the representative of the Holy Spirit, His guidance on you and me. You want to know if the Lord is working in your life and how you can tell. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them. And the pillar and the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. You're talking about full coverage, 360 degrees of protection. And what they were following was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what you and I have to follow today. That's enough. That's enough. You take time to study His Word and ask Him, Lord, show me. And guess what? You read it and you see it. You have the angel of God. You have the Word of God before your face. And you have the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you unto all truth. And look at this, talking about this cloud. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. This was before they crossed over. I want you to see that. But look what happened before the destruction happened. That protection was there. That cloud was so thick that the Christian people, the children of Israel, could see. But guess what? The enemy couldn't see. They're blinded. We'll say, well, what would keep them from running into each other and a fight happening and something breaking out? The Holy Spirit. He allowed his people to see, and he blinded those others that they couldn't see. But you know what? He kept them away from each other that entire night. You know, that speaks to the safety of God. If you are where he wants you to be, he is going to protect you, regardless of what it looks like. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, to his people, so that the one came not near the other all night. I'm going to stop there this morning, but I'm going to ask you something. Are you where God wants you to be? One of the things that we're talking about in our Sunday school class is being in the will of God, the perfect will of God. He has a perfect will for you and a perfect will for me. The Bible wouldn't teach that if that's not the case. And I want to ask you this morning, are you where God wants you to be? Are you all in? Have you gone all in for him? Are you kind of standing on the side to wait to see what happens? Are you waiting for somebody else to go? What are you waiting on? You might be here this morning and the Lord's been dealing with your heart and you know you're lost. And I just respectfully ask you, what are you waiting on? Every Christian that I've talked to, especially those who were saved later in life, the one thing they tell me all in common is, I wish I would have gotten started sooner. I wish I'd have surrendered sooner. I wish I'd have given my life to the Lord sooner. And there's a difference in accepting God as your Savior and then being converted to his use too. You might be here this morning. You might have been saved for years, but you've never really surrendered to him. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord.